Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Senior Airman Victoria Molman, a.k.a. Momo.
Uh-huh. And who gave you that nickname?
You did.
Absolutely. This might make me sound like a nerd, but the little monkey-looking thing from Avatar, that's what she reminds me of. She's all over the place at all times, but she's adorable. So that's why I call her Momo.
It's her personality.
All right, Mo is filling in. Sergeant Brosom will not be back, everybody. I know I keep saying he's coming back, but officially he is not. He has moved on to a different role in our office. So we're just going to have guest co-hosts left and right. So let's get to know Momo a little bit better. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So a little bit about myself is that I've been in the Air Force now coming up on 3 years here at Tyndall Air Force Base. This is my first duty station. I am a prior military spouse. My husband was in the U.S. Navy. Currently going to Syracuse University, getting that degree for my bachelor's.
Mm-hmm. Get it, girl.
Apart from that, I'm a mom with 3 kids and 2 dogs and 2 cats.
Mm-hmm. A zoo. You live with a zoo is what you're telling everybody.
I like it a little crazy.
All right. And Mo is one of our multimedia airmen. So that means she does photos, videos, writing, all the things. You have to be an expert in all things visual media in our realm now. Back in the day, it was just one thing. You're either photo, video, graphics, or a journalist.
Kind of like it, though.
I mean, you are a jack of all trades, for sure. And I think that will benefit you when you get out of the Air Force, because usually that's what corporations are looking for when they're hiring public relations. As of right now, she's just busy. So she took time out to do this with me. First of all, we have to recap the air show. We got praised high and low for the air show. It was bigger. We had way more attendance. If you were there, reach out and tell us how you thought it went and what we can improve on. So that way next go around is bigger and better, just like we did this time. Bow, bow, bow. This is going to be fun. Listeners wrote in because I reached out to a couple people that I know listen, are avid listeners and top fans, if you will. And I asked them, like, what is a topic that you feel like the majority of the Air Force is going through right now? And because it's PCS season, a lot of people are going through their feelings.
Oh, yeah.
You, Mo, had to PCS here from tech school with your millions of family and animals. Was that stressful for you?
That was a nightmare.
Yeah?
It was very stressful, yeah.
Did you do it yourself?
Yes, we
okay,
did.
Okay, okay, go on.
We got our truck stuck in the dirt.
Okay.
With all of our stuff in it, had to get it towed out. That was one of, like, probably the most stressful things. And then when we were moving, we were purchasing our first home. So we had to wait for everything for the closing to happen. Mm-hmm. So we ended up staying in a hotel for, you know, I don't know, all through Christmas, which was intense because having all those animals and the kids and just, it was too small of a space for us all to be living.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we made it work. But yeah, it was definitely stressful.
Yeah. That just like trauma flashed in my brain. Like I lived in a hotel for 3 months because when we moved to San Angelo, which is Goodfellow territory, there was no housing at all. So we had to wait 3 months for our house to be finished being built, and we lived in a one bedroom hotel room with a brand new baby, a 5-year-old starting kindergarten, and 2 dogs.
Womp womp.
It was awful. I don't wish that upon anybody. And why did we do that? Because TLF was full and could not house us, so we had no option. But anyway, on the brighter side of PCS season, let's just dive into this. So being positive, I think moving around once in a while is a blessing and a curse, right? Like you get to grow your network, your tribe, if you will, of people. You always, I found at every space we were at, have that group of people who you know is your tribe and like will always have your back. They care for you like you're their family, and essentially you do become their family, right?
Yeah.
And the flip side of that is you have to leave those people. That is the worst feeling in the world when you have such a close-knit group of people who you love and they love you back and you have to give them up just to go to a brand new location and do it all over again.
Yeah, it is a little sad. I mean, but there are some pros, you know. I mean, you get to meet new people. You get to go to a new place. So when I found out that I was coming to Tyndall, I didn't really know much about it. A lot of people were kind of surprised because at the time, it was really more so focused on the rebuild phase and everybody just knew it as getting wiped out by Hurricane Michael.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I came, like, I was so excited. I was excited to come somewhere where the beach is and the water's beautiful. And I was ready for it. I was ready for the new adventure.
And that is positivity, right? That's what we want to focus on is, although it might hurt to leave the people that you care about or even, like, the work situation that you love, it is always beneficial to go to a new place. You get to start fresh. You are the only one that determines whether your next experience is a good one or a bad one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then, like, you know, I mean, say that I didn't want to come to Florida because it's hot, you know, it's then getting the opportunity to make something of it, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it be the people inside your workplace or taking your family to, you know, somewhere new and just finding things. It is what you make of it. And that's really the biggest thing within inside of the military and PCS seasons.
Now, we don't want to be a Debbie Downer for PCS season. You know, we see people come and go. It's part of military life. We all go through it. Whether it's good or bad for you, you determine what it is. But another topic that one of our listeners brought up was to talk about workplace happiness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very, I mean, I feel like it's very important because, you know, if you're happy at work, you're happy with the people that you work with, your work tends to reflect that happiness.
We spend such a large portion of our lives, you know, as contributing members of society at work. I tell, you know, our team this all the time. I spend more time with y'all than I spend with my family, which is sad in the long run, but at the end of the day, like, if you're not happy during the majority of your day doing what you do every day, life is too short. In my opinion, my humble opinion, it's not worth staying somewhere that does not bring you happiness or joy in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I agree. Although, you know, say that you aren't quite happy with the work environment, you know, maybe find something else that you enjoy inside of work, you know, enjoy the work that you do, no matter how big or small it is, just something, because that'll help you get through, you know, maybe tough times if you run through them, because, you know, everybody has those. There's seasons, they come and go. So, yeah. You know,
I think everybody goes through that too, like where you genuinely come in with nothing but positive intentions and you enjoy what you're doing, but then you get kind of stagnant and you might start being resentful. But like you said, holding on to something that you genuinely enjoy doing, it will make all the difference. And you can take that, you can run with it, and you can make it grow. Okay, so my job's not that bad. I get to do this every day. I, full transparency, have been feeling that. Full transparency. Like, my mental health does not solely revolve around work, but it is a big chunk. You know? Yeah. But I also feel like, and this is just me being in a leadership role, I also feel like leaders also need to provide that quality to their subordinates to create that environment where they are happy to come to work. Because the better of a mood that you are in when you go to work, the better quality product or work ethic you're going to put into your everyday. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think throughout my career, I've been incredibly fortunate to learn from truly, truly amazing leaders and work alongside exceptional professionals. And those positive experiences taught me a valuable lesson. When a team feels supported, trusted, and aligned with their purpose, their output is unstoppable. Like, we as a team, PA, right? when we were just on our P's and Q's, we were winning awards left and right. And mm-hmm. that's not to say like that is the end all be all to show you how awesome your team is. But in our office, you could tell like when we were thriving because we were just rocking it out.
Yeah, I mean, well, and not just that. I mean, not like you necessarily need to win awards, but the awards speak for themselves.
Yep. I guess like the point the listener wanted to make was, you know, like how if you're in a toxic or, you know, negative headspace at work,
how to stay positive.
Yeah.
So one thing I learned kind of coming in to the military was that, you know, it was a very hard road for me. I was a little older, you know, I had certain requirements that I had to do. I needed waivers, all this stuff. And it was a big waiting game for me.
Yeah.
It was very easy to be negative. Oh, I hadn't left yet. Oh, my paperwork hasn't happened. But instead of focusing on those things, it was a lot of work, but I started training my mindset to be a little more positive, focus mm-hmm. on the things that I did have. I was working out. I was getting in shape. My paperwork was going through. So it's finding just those little things. I started off with first try to find, you know, five things that you're most grateful for
mm-hmm.
or like the five things that make you happy. Yeah. Right. And I focused on those things and it was hard at first for me to even create five.
Yeah.
But then as I started doing it, it started changing. And, you know, I really believe like what you put out in the atmosphere, you get back.
Absolutely. I absolutely believe that too. Maybe that's why I haven't had much luck outside. If you know me in real life, I am a very unfiltered person. That does not mean I'm mean. That doesn't mean like I'm strict. Like I'm just a realist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I just look at things with facts. And when the facts speak to me, that's the truth I speak. Oh. So people take that as me being mean all the time. I'm not a mean person. Like yeah. in the workplace, I am unfiltered because I'm telling you the facts and the truth. And some people don't like that.
I think I'd rather have the facts and the truth than to sit there and have someone, you know, fluff it up, put yes. sugar on it, whatever. Tell me how it is. The only way that you're going to learn and grow is by, you know,
absolutely.
Someone keeping it real with you.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
That's why you catch me coming in your office all the time.
To any of the leaders listening out there, this is the message that we are wanting to get across. Support your people. Actually care about them. Just care. Know that they're married. Know that they have little kids that they go to soccer practice for every week. Know if they're in distress. I think to be an effective leader, and I say leader, not a manager, because there's two different things, right? To be an effective leader, you have to genuinely care about the well-being of your team and the success of your team. Because if those two things are not there, then your team's just going to crumble. Like, they need to know that they're being led with somebody's heart and not purely their mind. Like, a good leader leads with both, but you also have to have the heart. You can't just do the mind thing.
Listen to John Maxwell. Read some books. John Maxwell Leadership 101. Highly recommend.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was my stint on workplace happiness. Because when you guys write into me, I'm going to talk about what you want me to talk about. As long as it's work appropriate, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Enough about workplace happiness. Everybody should know by now. Like, if you are a middle-aged person, and I say that with grace, like if you're 20 something to 60 something, like you should know whether you're happy at work or not. And if you go to work every day miserable, what are you doing? Life's too short. Don't do that. Go find something that genuinely makes you happy.
Yeah. Go read a book. No, I'm just kidding.
Something that pays your bills, Mo. Jeez.
Okay.
What's going on base? There's lots of things coming up. I'll tell you that. Right now, we are in full swing of checkered flag. And we have actually a lot of people coming in for this one. Apparently, I feel like I say this every time, but apparently this is bigger than the last. And they have no intention on slowing down with the growth of this. As soon as that flight line's done, I feel like it's going to be a red flag. Like, I know you've never been to red flag, but holy cow, that was overwhelming. The amount of jets and personnel that were at Nellis for red flag was insane.
I mean, yeah, we went out to the flight line earlier today and it is full. I mean, really packed. Yeah. I was surprised to see so many jets. I know some of the aircraft that we have are like F-16s, Fighting Falcons. We have F-35A and C Lightning IIs out there. We have the E-818 Growlers. We have a lot. We have a lot of aircraft.
But checkered flag bringing all these people, what does that mean? A huge economic boost for the surrounding area. They're filling up your hotels. They're filling up your grocery stores. They're filling up the restaurants. Like, this and the air show. Great, great economic impact for the Panama City area.
Money, 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 money.
This is why I brought Mo on. But we're going to stay on, like, the positivity track, the workplace improvements, and we're going to bring on probably one of my favorite people in this building, Tech Sergeant Santiago. He is the CSS for the Wing Commander, and he just finished NCOA. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tendo.af.mil.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with our special guest, probably one of the coolest guys in our building. We have Technical Sergeant Ramon Santiago with us, also known as just Santi.
Yep.
Welcome to the show, Santi.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. So I'm Technical Sergeant Ramon Santiago Rosado. I was born in Puerto Rico, but I declare Claremont, Florida home. It's actually like 20 minutes west of Orlando, Florida. I have been in the Air Force since November of 2014. So kind of a long time ago, kind of not, but 11 and a half years. First duty assignment was in Incirlik, Turkey. So I joined the Air Force thinking that I was not going to leave the state of Florida.
And you immediately went.
Yeah, I thought that the dream sheet was going to get taken seriously, but no, they actually did not even put me in the States. They put me overseas in Turkey. So spent 15 months there. After that, had a follow-on to Charleston Air Force Base, which was pretty close to home, so I really enjoyed it. But I was only there for 4 months before they tasked me my first deployment, my first only deployment in Bagram, Afghanistan. So I'm like, man, Air Force just loves me being close to the Middle East. Like, what's going on here? And then came back to Charleston, did about 2.5 years there, and then I went over to Camp Guernsey, Wyoming. So it's 90 miles north of F.E. Warren. It's a globally separated unit for security forces. Do some cool stuff up there. So that was pretty cool because that unit was only NCOs. The staff sergeant was the lowest rank there. So
wow.
I just put on staff, and I got there, and I was like, okay, so I can just blend in over here and stuff like that. But
how do you get all these weird places?
Super weird.
Just I've never heard of that.
Yeah, no.
Never heard of that place.
I was there for 6 months. On my six-month mark, we had this thing that happened around the world called COVID.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And so I went on, at the time it was AMS, where you can just go and pick your assignments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now it's my Vector Talent Marketplace. And so I applied for an ROTC job over in Daytona Beach, Florida. And that's all I saw was Daytona Beach, Florida. So I was like, I want to go home. I want to get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
Went over there, and I didn't know what I was signing up for, but I worked for Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach, and it is the second largest detachment in the United States for ROTC cadets.
Oh, wow.
And, over 500 cadets. So I was like,
no way.
So it was super, super busy, but
yeah.
I was close to home. My favorite assignment, loved it. I literally relate everything to life to that job because it just meant so much to me.
Aww.
I actually got to live out of Daytona Beach over at Embry-Riddle. I got selected to come here to Tyndall Air Force Base, which I thought the base was already built by then. So when I got here, it was not.
No.
But it's looking good so far.
Yeah.
But yeah, been here for about a year and a half this July.
Okay. And you like it so far?
I do. Obviously, there's pros and cons to every base. Obviously, one of the cons we have here is the construction, but you kind of make your way around it. You become really geographically, smart.
Yes.
Like when a road closes, you're like, ah, it's okay. I know how to get over to this building now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do like Panama City area.
Okay. So let's talk about what you do. Mm-hmm. Currently, you're serving a role with Colonel Berchtold. Mm-hmm. You are like the headquarters CSS, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So I am an executive assistant. So I assist all the members up there, Colonel Berchtold, Colonel Cavazos, now it's Colonel Nyber, and Chief Lucas. And then just pretty much like anyone that needs anything, I'm here for them. I kind of just been doing that my whole career. So I am in, originally I was a knowledge operator and I was doing that for about 8 weeks. And what I mean by that is it's just tech school. I went to tech school for that. And then like the Air Force split up in like 2015 and then they made me administration.
Okay.
And so administration is kind of the same thing as personnelist. As some would know, is when you go over to the MPF or a CSS, which is commander support staff, it's usually an admin or a personnelist. So as of last year, we merged our career fields and we are now human resources and administration. And so I like to throw jabs at the personnelists and stuff like that because we have a little bit of rivalry, but now we're one team, one, you know, one team, one fight. But I don't know if they've noticed this, but they kept the name administration in the name and they got rid of personnelists.
Oh.
Human resource administration.
I feel like that's a burn. Burn.
So at the end
Where's
of the day,
my burn button?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not it.
But yeah, so human resource administration essentially is what an admin and personnelist does. So we handle awards and decorations, so EPBs, OPBs, anything that needs to be added to your records or updated in your records, reenlistments, retentions, separations. When you get your orders, we're helping you with your assignments and stuff like that. But it really is like a small MPF is what our job is. Everywhere we are at, we're here to assist like the squadron, the group, the wing is just to be there and help people out at the end of the day. Just having the best customer service because you're representing the whole squadron, you're representing your commander, your SEO, first sergeant. So it is a very important role, and I understand that it's kind of like behind the desk for the most part, but if you like to talk to people and have at least some customer service, like it's a really good job, but it's a lot of admin work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For someone that's like new coming in, how do they go about, you know, learning or getting into those positions?
Yeah, so it's really... It's with being an HRA, you know, just with any other AFSC, you start in a position that like the Air Force wants you to be in. So like supervisors would have you kind of just focus on your CDCs and stuff like that. So if I had like an advice for young airmen in my career field is be just focus on your CDCs for now. Like once you join, focus on your CDCs, network. So get to know the people that are around you, establish a good working relationship with your supervisor so that you guys already have that, work hard so that they see that you're motivated to do anything and everything to like help out your career and open up doors for you. But in order for you to be like an ROTC instructor or work in ROTC, it's really through Talent Marketplace where you apply for it. So you have to have a line number in order to do this job. And back in the day, you used to be able to do it as a senior airman, but now you just have to be a staff to do the job. But other cool ways that you can, that I would advise young HRAs is to work in postal. So in postal, you know how like in every job, we kind of have like a job that not too many people want to do. Postal is one of them because it's like the one admin job that like you're actually really getting sweaty, you're working and stuff like that. So most admins are like, no, I want to be an AC and stuff like that. But this is a job that you actually have to work, pick up a lot of boxes, deal with angry customers. So like being deployed and stuff like that. One of the things that people value a lot is their letters and their packages.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like the postal team, whenever someone's angry that they didn't get something, who are they taking it on?
Yeah.
The postal members are like, where's my package? They're like, dude, we are in the Middle East. Like this got to go through so many customs. Yeah. Like it is not here. Just please be patient. But I would just advise airmen to do that job to understand it, especially now that we've merged from personnelist admin to HRA. Personalists will have to do that job.
I did not know postal was tied into you.
Yeah, it is, ma'am.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have a post office on this base?
Yeah, but we don't have active duty, do we?
We do, yeah.
Shut up.
So actually, fun fact, I was actually the official postal manager before I took this job. So I was in charge of the post office. Yes, ma'am. So it's
where have they been? I've only ever seen the civilian.
Yeah, so the reason that we don't have, technically it's not a post office, it's the official postal center. So it's only for official mail. So you have ADOs in your unit, which is activity distribution office or officer. It's the ones that are allowed to send out official mail only. So that's why you guys haven't heard of it. It's only for official mail.
Wow. What? See, I do love this. I really do. We were talking about like workplace happiness earlier before you came in, and my podcast is absolutely my workplace happiness because I get to learn so much about what everybody else is doing and at the same time be thankful for what I do because their jobs don't sound appealing to me at all.
Yeah. She's saying, yeah. Don't it's like enlightening you of like, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm grateful for what I do. I do not want to be doing that.
No, I genuinely love what I do, but
I do too.
Going back to you being at ROTC, so you were an instructor.
Yes, ma'am.
You also just went through NCOA, correct?
Yep.
So what was the most valuable thing that you took away from, I don't know, either ROTC or NCOA as a leader in the Air Force?
Yeah, so honestly, what I have learned in that job and in my Air Force career is that obviously, like, I'm a tech sergeant. I'm an NCO tier. I have not been a senior NCO yet or anything like that. Hopefully, I am one day. Obviously, chief is in the future as well. Hopefully, if you just keep working hard. But from just my perspective, I do think being a non-commissioned officer is the most important rank in the Air Force.
Absolutely.
And the reason I say that is because, and I'll just tie it into ROTC and into when I was in NCOA, but in ROTC, you're pretty much building our future officers, not only in the Air Force, but Space Force as well.
Yeah.
And if, like you said, we have officers that are mainly their instructors, so they're learning how to be an officer through the officers, which is important. You know, you want to learn how to be an NCO through an NCO as well. But it's good for you to get the outside perspective. And so I had a really good commander there. He's retired now. His name is Colonel Alan Dayton. He was just amazing. Like, he just always involved the NCOs and all decisions that he made. And as a full bird, like, it really made you feel, like, so special.
Yeah.
And he would just tell us how he's like, yeah, so the reason I do this is because my NCO cadre that I had when I was in this program just, like, really took care of me, like, and it really showed me how to, like, how NCOs are supposed to be training our young LTs and our just our fresh new captains as well, just always mentoring. And it kind of makes sense, you know, how we always have a commander, they will have a SCO with them. But if one of the things that I really loved about that job is that I was honored with being a first salute a couple times. And it really meant a lot to me that even some of the the officers that I had would choose me over, like, their dad or someone like that. And they're just like, whoa, sir, like, you know, the reason I do this is because my dad didn't really show me what NCOs do or just, like, the mentorship that you provided me. He's like, and so, like, the fact that they would choose me over their dad, and then they would just tie in just how important an NCO is, that I would just give them. I would always tell them it's not, you know, the rank that you wear, how many stripes you have. It's just how many lives you've impacted by wearing that rank.
I love that.
So, like, when people say, like, the NCOs are the backbone to the Air Force, I truly, really believe that.
100%, yes.
And the reason I'll tie that in now to the NCOA is just because we talk so much about just being a good leader, how to motivate your airmen, and how to just make them feel valued. And if you had a bad NCO, like I did when I first joined.
Holler. That's me too.
You learn what you think that's how all NCOs are.
Yeah.
You don't know that that's bad. You kind of are just like, holy crap, like, this is how all NCOs are. And you're like, all right, well, I guess my TIs and my TLs in tech school were kind of mean too. So I guess all NCOs are mean. But it takes that special person that really just, like, ask you for how you feel, asking you how your day is, or just saying good morning to you and just smiling at you, just uplifting you by just the words they're saying, or just caring about what you're doing on your weekend and stuff like that. I'm not asking to be in their business, but just showing that you care. And so, like, seeing all the different career fields in NCOA and being able to align each other of, like, how you motivate your airmen, it's just, like, super important for me. And I just always have just been like that in my career, and, like, learning that from Colonel Dayton, and taking care of your people and just being positive.
Yes.
There's a quote I live by. I believe it was John F. Kennedy that said it, so don't quote me on saying that it was him, but I know that he said it once.
Okay.
We'll just say that. He said it once. But it's, a rising tide will lift all boats. And so my Colonel Dayton would always tell me, he's like, you need to be that rising tide. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, if you're that person, when you go to any office, you can motivate anybody, no matter what it is. Just be that rising tide that will lift all boats. If someone doesn't want to be lifted as high as the other one, it's okay, because at the end of the day, you're still lifting them to where they want to be.
Yeah.
And so I try to live by that in everything that I do, ma'am.
I love that.
Oh, Santi, you're going to be so good. You're going to be a great chief one day, I swear. I sincerely hope that we get more NCOs that have that mindset that you have, because I don't know if you guys talked about this at NCOA, but like the generational difference mm-hmm. between leaders right now, I think is like mind blowing. How the generation before me, because I'm older than you guys, they were just like, work, 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 work. I don't mm-hmm. care about your feelings. I don't care about yeah. your family. It's all about work when you're here. And now like my generation, which is millennials, is, did you get your job done?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Bye.
Yeah.
You know, go enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you put in the hard work, you get to go play hard. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I love that you're like the positive, uplifting leader. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
Like workplace happiness. Like yeah. what does it take to make you happy at your workplace?
Yeah, no, 100%. And just like how you said, I try to be both. What you just said is like reminding them the importance of the job.
Yes.
It's crucial. You're joining the Air Force. Like I get it. Like yeah. learn the job, service before self. And I do tell the airmen that I work with that that is important. But I also don't want to waste their time or the Air Force's mm-hmm. time. If you've completed the job and you've met my expectations, go home, go take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we are taking care of the mission, but a lot of people kind of forget about the four pillars, you know, spiritual, physical, mental, social.
There you go.
Yeah. So those four, you need them. And so I just feel like as an NCO, I get it that a lot of us now, and I'll say us because this is the rank that I'm in. Mm-hmm. I won't say that that's specifically what I do. But a lot of us will kind of make airmen will do like, hey, go take out the trash, go do this, go do that. But if you're doing it, they're going to see, hey, he's doing it too. So yeah. let's go ahead and do that. Or like you realize that there's stuff that you can get done. Why are you going to give it to them when it's already the weekend or something?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. go ahead, send them, go hang out with their friends so they can take care of those four pillars so that they're healthy enough to get back to work and complete the mission.
Yes. Absolutely.
So when I was younger, I love that you said that because when I was younger, my dad, I'll never forget it, said to me, he was just, have you ever heard of the Houston Rodeo?
No.
No? Okay, really big. I mean, it's huge. Okay. But he worked on the committee. He got his way in and he was telling people to pick up trash, right? You mm-hmm. had to pick up mm-hmm. trash because there's people always just throwing the trash on the floor. And he looked at me and he said, the one thing that you do is you don't just tell people what to do. You show them that you can do mm-hmm. it too, because what do you say? A good leader leads by example.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. so, you know, you're not any better. So like,
yeah, you're willing to get dirty.
And yeah, like, yeah. And honestly, it makes, the people under you respect you more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I actually have a funny like trash man story, if I can tell you guys.
Yeah.
So that's actually like resonated really close to me and like the kind of leader that I want to be. When I first joined, it was really hard for me to like deal with like that my boss is not going to help out and stuff, mm-hmm. which I totally get it. You're busy. And now that I'm an NCO, I totally understand that. However, one of the things that would really upset me would be like, hey, go take out the trash.
Yeah.
But it would only be the airman that does it. And it's like, hey, like, yes, we're young, but we can see that we're the only ones doing this kind of stuff. Right. So I'd call my mom because I was in Turkey and I was upset that I already missed them, that I missed my family being close to them. And I'm like, mom, like, these guys aren't helping out. Like, it's just us young airmen that are taking out the trash and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's really not, it's not helping me. Like, I'm like, this is just so annoying. Like, do I just look like a garbage person to you and stuff like that? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And so my mom told me that she's like, I get that. And I know that's upsetting. She's like, but a lot of jobs are like that. You start off with, you know, picking up the scraps and stuff mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. But she's like, I got something that'll really show your bad leadership that it doesn't bother you. She's like, you do that and do it the best that you can. Be the best trash man, trash woman. Have a smile on your face because it's going to show them that that doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
And so I've always done that is just be the trash man. Like, be that person. Embrace that role. I really like that story that you were saying about, like, lead by example and just do that because people will be motivated by it. So when mm-hmm. I'm taking out the trash, I'm smiling.
Yeah.
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 That, I love that.
That's yeah. something that just stuck with me forever.
Yeah.
Like, I was 12 maybe,
yeah,
but I never forgot it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's good.
So what would you say, Santi, in your leadership experience, if you had an airman who came up to you and they're like, hey boss, like, I'm burnt out, like mm-hmm. I don't think I want to be here anymore, like, how would you get them back on their feet?
Yeah, so obviously if they told me that, I would ask, like, what is it? For one, I'm stopping everything I'm doing. Immediately I would ask, like, do you need some time off?
Yeah.
What do you need? You need some time off. Do you need to go home? See your
family?
How can I help you? Like, Obviously, do we need to put in leave, all that kind of stuff? Is there anything that I'm doing?
Yeah.
Am I the reason that you're burnt out? You know, is if everything's good in your life, but I'm the reason that you're being burnt out, like I want you to tell me, like, mm-hmm. so I can step back and like, figure out ways that I can just make your days better here at work. Just see like what's going on, ma'am. So obviously just getting like, I just need to know, like get to the bottom of it. Like what's going on? Is it me? If I'm the issue, then that's something that I need to work on as well. Yeah.
No, I think that was a great answer.
You know what that's called though?
What's up?
Checking out your blind spot. The only way that you know where you're failing as a leader is you have to be open to the, like, have that door open and being willing to accept, you know, that if there's something that you are not, I don't want to say failing at, doing, right? That, you know, you're open to getting that feedback to make those changes.
100%.
And I think a lot of people, you know, on all sides, on anything, have a hard time sometimes accepting just something that's not very positive, I guess, in other words, you know?
No, so, I get that,
You know, it's good. I was listening to like a leadership thing and it was saying, you know, as a good leader, you should know what your blind spots are.
Mm-hmm.
And the best people to ask are those that are around you, that work with you and under you.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I'm always like, whatever kind of feedback someone can give me, go ahead and give me it. Like maybe because some days are not, you know, I'm not going to have the best days. So like, just let me know what's going on. And I truly hope that everyone is like that in the Air Force.
The people that talk about you, and people do talk about you, it's always so positive. So you're doing something right. Absolutely. But I think your avenue or your tact of leadership, I think, is going to take you so far. Mm-hmm. And I can 100% see you being a chief.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. Even if I don't make that, like I said earlier, doesn't matter how many stripes I have on my chest. I just want to be able to finish out my Air Force career and just know that I did the best that I could. I have no regrets at anything. And I took care of as many people as I could take care of and help them meet their goals. That's it.
I love that.
Yeah. I love that too.
This is the year of the Santi, so.
Yeah. That's what Colonel V keeps saying. What I would say, and I just thought this is probably the best thing, is because we've been talking about like how to be a better leader and stuff like that, especially as an NCO. What I will say now is that I know it's kind of hard with this base to communicate and to network, and I've seen it firsthand. It's because, you know, obviously there's so many ongoing changes and circumstances that are happening at Tyndall Air Force Base, and I know that it can get annoying sometimes hearing like this is going to be the base of the future. You're like, no, I want this to be the base of present. Like, can we get this going? especially for the airmen out there. I couldn't, like, I have so much like respect for all the young airmen that are at this base, because I couldn't imagine coming to a base that is literally under construction. It kind of, when I go over to the maintenance side of this base, it feels like I'm back in Bagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not even kidding. I'm
100%.
Everything is under construction. And so I would just say, like, just keep that morale. Like, I know it probably gets tired hearing that and stuff like that, but just stay positive. I promise. Yeah. Like, it'll make it worth it. Because years from now, if you're just still upset about it, you're going to regret it. I promise you. Like, when you regret stuff, you lose hair, okay?
Yeah.
I lose hair, all right? You don't want to lose any hair. You don't want to get pimples. You don't want any of that. Just stay positive. For the NCOs, lead by example, please.
I will say, so I have, in my E4 Mafia days, came home from deployment. I had the worst supervisor, the absolute worst. And when I came home, she was just something awful to me. I don't know what I did to her, but like, do not be a Jen. I let her negativity consume me, and I let my surrounding environment just additionally bring me down. So like, she was the top tier negativity, but like, I am not a Texas person. I'm sorry, Texans, I'm sorry.
You should be, I'm offended.
So like, that was a double whammy for me. So I let those two things determine whether I got out of the Air Force. Santi, I would have retired this past January had I stayed in. I regret getting out all the time. Mm-hmm. I could be living the good life right now, guys. Like, I could be sipping margaritas on the beach right now. Yeah. And I didn't do that. I regret it, but I don't, like, because I obviously made my life more positive in the direction I went. But don't let a situation, because that's what it was. It was just like a span of time where it was nothing, I felt like nothing but negativity. Don't let that determine like lifelong decisions.
Yes, ma'am.
It will pass. The storm will pass.
100%. But I will say this though, ma'am, because just like Mo said, with looking at the positives, if you would have retired and stayed in, you wouldn't have been here doing this podcast with us.
That
so you gotta
is
look
true.
At some of the good things that happen at the end of the day.
That is very yeah. true, Sandy. Yeah.
Where one door closes, another opens. What's yep. meant to be will be.
Yeah. Mm.
But that pension would have been nice.
Yeah. yeah. yes, <it would've. laughs> and the time off. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Technical Sergeant Santiago, thank you so much for being here. It was so amazing getting to talk to you like this and hearing your positivity and your leadership. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. I really appreciate you and Mo for taking the time to talk to me. It really means a lot to me. I just hope that just coming on here that whoever's listening that just needs some kind of uplifting energy, or if they they just need just positivity and smile and just lead by example and take care of your people, and I promise you your life will be a lot easier at the end of the day.
All right, everybody, stick around for next month's episode when we say goodbye to Colonel B and Chief Lucas.